How's everybody doing? You guys awake? You know, it was interesting because, like Carrie said, I went to an NIJ conference last February, and I was sitting in a room full of, with a lot of you, and statisticians and researchers, and I sat there as the only law enforcement, and I had no clue what anybody was talking about. I was completely lost, and I had to turn around to the researcher next to me and say, what the heck are they talking about? I can't understand the language they're using. Carrie Burnite. And she explained to me, and what I discovered as time went on was that, in fact, we all do speak the same language because statisticians and researchers look for facts, right? My friend Aline over there likes to say that, well, you said it the other day, you said you were a nerd, right? And I, you know what, I'm a knuckle-dragging street cop is what I am. But the fact is, whoops, how do I go forward? We all speak the same language, right? And we're looking for facts. And when I'm putting together cases, I'm looking for facts. So the role of law enforcement when we're looking at cases of elder abuse is we're going to investigate these cases of elder abuse with or without the testimony of the victim. I like to go into elder abuse cases thinking that my person's deceased. Yeah, that might not sound right, but the fact of the matter is a lot of them are on medication. A lot of them can't speak for themselves. They have cognitive disabilities. The other role that I have is I have to gather the evidence, and that's where Dr. Wigglesworth and Dr. Daly can help me gather evidence. I have to look at the body. I can't rely on that elder person to be able to talk to me. So I'm going to look at their body to figure out what type of evidence I could get from them, as well as their surroundings and caretaker stories. And then I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to present my case to try and get a prosecutor to file on that case. Just to give you a little more background, in the state of California, 368A is considered our elder abuse code. And what the legislature in California decided was that crimes against elders deserve special protection, not unlike the special protection provided for minor children. And why is that? It's because, as the legislature declared, that elders might be confused, they're on various medications, that might be mentally or physically impaired or incompetent, and they can't protect themselves. They might not be able to understand or report criminal conduct, and they're less able to testify. And again, that's why I have to go back to the studies of these absolutely brilliant researchers to help me out, put my cases together, because I can't rely on that elder victim to be able to help me, to speak to me, to tell me their story, to tell me what happened to them. When I first became a patrol officer, I had a field training officer that told me there's three rules I needed to follow, and I took this to heart. The first rule was, if you see a gun, just shoot first. You know, kill the guy, right? The second one was that everybody lies, and it doesn't matter who they are. They might be a victim, they might be a witness, they might be a suspect. Every single person that I encounter in the street's going to lie to me. And the third one is, just go out there and have fun. So I took this to heart when I went and became a detective. And prior to my going upstairs, we did not have a detective that was devoted to working elder abuse cases. We didn't know a lot about elder abuse. So lo and behold, I volunteer and I get my very first elder abuse case, and it's the Creamery case. Okay, now mind you, I had no clue about studies. I didn't know what bruising studies were. I didn't know any of this. So I get a 54-year-old who has advanced Parkinson's disease, and she has an orbital fracture, which is around her eye, it's all fractured, and she has severe bruising on her face. And I interview her, and she tells me, I fell. Okay, I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, you know what, she's a liar. I know she didn't fall, but I can't prove anything, and you know what, since everybody lies, she doesn't want to be a victim, so oh well, right? Oh, and by the way, she had a very controlling boyfriend. But I kept pushing her, and she kept saying, you know what, I fell. So what did I do? I thought, well, my victim doesn't want to be a victim, so I'm gonna walk away from it. And I did. I interviewed, instead of going out in person and interviewing the boyfriend, because I didn't have anything to corroborate what my instinct was that she was lying. So I interviewed the boyfriend on the phone, and he's like, oh, she fell. And then I didn't go out to the house. You know, she's telling me she has this padded carpeting, but I thought, well, still, she doesn't want to be a victim, so I'm not going to do anything. Because I didn't know to go back and treat her as if she were a homicide victim. And I also didn't have the bruising study. I didn't have it. If I had had that bruising study when I first became a detective, I certainly would have handled that case a lot differently. I would have gotten out into the field. I would have pushed her. I would have brought him in, because I would have had that evidence with the doctors and the diagrams that I could have presented to the suspect and said, hey, you're lying, and I would have presented it to her as well. And as a matter of fact, I would have gone back to the doctor as well, which is what I do now, you know. So I would have handled it a lot differently. So what did I learn when I started meeting with the doctors from UCI and the researchers? I learned that bruises on the face, the neck, the torso, the groin, and at that point, this is the original bruising study, the thighs and feet, that those were really indicative of abuse. So I could have used that definitely in handling that particular case. And this is actually a case from UCI sheriffs, but the sheriffs worked on this case where this guy was kicked by the suspect. Something that Eileen discussed in her study was the color of bruises. Okay, well, what was my number two rule, everybody?
Color.
Everybody lies, right? Everybody lies. So when, whether it's a victim in domestic violence or a victim in elder abuse, if the person said to me, well, you know what, this accident, or I was hit today, and they had a yellow bruise, I'd be like, I'd go to my prosecutor, sit down with him, and I clearly remember doing this. And I'd have the case of me, and I'd say, well, look at this picture. It's a yellow bruise, and they're telling me that he beat her up today, LLPOF. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay? Because people don't get yellow bruises the first day they're hit. But I was wrong. I was absolutely wrong. And now I have this study that shows that, you know what? People can have bruises different colors on the very first day. So it certainly changed the way that I handle my cases, and it's definitely changed the way I present my information to prosecutors. And through this process of learning about this study, I've been able to actually educate several prosecutors within my city as well as within the county. And then I thought this is so amazing to me to have this data to back up, that I could present this data actually to suspects and say, hey, you know, that LLPOF thing, you know, look, this injury was inflicted. The other thing that I thought was interesting in the study was that basically 90% of abused elders remember the cause of at least one bruise. That is phenomenal. Because what do elders have? Remember, we talked about the fact that the legislature recognizes on medication, they might not have that cognitive ability, they might not remember, they might not be able to speak for themselves. But in numerous cases, they will remember the cause of the abuse. And I've had several cases that I've got prosecutions on because the person could tell me exactly what the abuse, who did the abuse. I had one lady, elderly lady, that discussed the fact that she kept repeating the fact, despite her dementia, that her grandson kicked her with a pair of boots in her back. And so we got a guilty on that one. Here's a little example of one of my cases that Dr. Mosqueda came out on. And I call it football or wrestling. 74-year-old woman with dementia. She has a 23-year-old grandson, and they all reside in the same home. So there's a position of trust between them, and they get in a fight over the remote control because, believe it or not, Granny liked to watch wrestling, and the grandson wanted to watch football. And basically what happens, they start wrestling, he grabs onto her arm and pushes her around, and she suffers bruising and laceration to her wrist and face. And her story was, that day, was that he grabbed me. And then the next day, when all seven of her family members came with her, we arrested him, by the way, at the scene, but when her family members came in with her to the front counter of our police department, her story had changed, and it was, a cereal box fell on my arm. Well, I wasn't buying that, so I convinced her son to bring her in and get a medical, a freebie, right? A free medical exam by our lovely Dr. Mosqueda, who by now has the results of the bruising study. So Dr. Mosqueda comes in, and she looks at the bruise, and if you guys see the bruise, and based on Eileen's study, you can tell that's not an accidental bruise. I mean, it's circular. It goes all the way around her arm, and then there's that laceration on it as well, and you can see the bump on it. So despite the fact that she had dementia, she kept telling Dr. Mosqueda, he grabbed me. Okay, the cereal box fell on me, but he grabbed me. Well, I was raking, but he grabbed me. So do you see, and like Carrie was talking about the dementia study, that's going to be absolutely brilliant for us because people do remember, even if they have dementia, they do remember, and they can always go back to how they received that particular injury. The story around it might change, but they remember how they got that injury. So based on the interview, based on Dr. Mosqueda wrote a report for me saying that this was abuse and not accidental. That grandson that had all the family members coming in and trying to lie to get him out, he pled guilty to elder abuse, so we got a conviction on that. Okay, basically in law enforcement, sometimes we, in elder abuse, they can be really tough cases. We have the obvious cases, and that's not an elder abuse. Obviously, this guy was in a struggle. How do I know that? Well, there's blood all over the place, and he's got, you know, items thrown all over. He's a big, robust guy, so he was in a fight for his life, and unfortunately, he lost. But then we get cases like this with the elder on the right-hand side, and this is another one of my very first cases, and really hard to determine what this guy died of. And that's, again, where forensic exams and CT can come in handy and help me out in my case. Because if you think about it, on a traditional autopsy, we're not going to fillet somebody. We don't slice open every single bit of them and skin them like a, what, like a deer, right? So if this guy has fractures somewhere, chances are it's going to get missed. And that's where I think that Dr. Daly's study will really come in handy. On the forensic exam, we're going to see, are there unexplained injuries? Are there fractures? And I could use the information that we get in CT scans to either corroborate or contradict a caretaker or suspect story. And I love to do stuff like that, trip them up. Okay, what I like to do is I like to compare, because again, this research is fairly recent, but I'd like to compare how elder abuse is a lot like child abuse. Okay, and so I'm going to talk about this case of Alexis. This is a true story. It happened about 2 months ago. A 4-month-old found by mother with difficulty breathing. He presents with multiple bruises over his entire body, his foot, his legs, his arms. Mother states he was playing with a friend. Okay, I don't know about any of you, but when my kid was 4 months old, she was not out playing with friends. Okay, so right away something's like, oh, what was that? L-O-P-O-F, liar. Okay. So basically, the emergency doctors, as well as the doctors at Chalk Hospital in Orange County, ordered a CT scan. And what they found, and this is Dr. Murray from UCI, determined that the 4-month-old had a left acute subarachnoid?
Subarachnoid, yes.
Thank you. Hematoma. An older subdural hematoma, right distal femur metaphyseal lesion. Okay, so there's old and new injuries, right? And then the doctor writes, based on that CT scan, the history by the mother does not explain all of the injuries. The injuries are consistent with abusive head trauma and non-accidental trauma. So what we did was we took that information from the CT scan and went back to the mother, who surprisingly enough decided that maybe it was time to confess, and confessed to pinching, beating, shaking her child, and punching the kid in the face as well. He had this little thing that the frenulum, this thing that keeps your attached your lip, that was ripped off as well. So how do I think this is going to relate to elders? Well, elders atrophy, their muscles atrophy, they become frail, they get thin, not all, but some of them, we're talking bedridden, and they have lack of muscle mass. Now remember earlier we talked about how the law says they can't protect themselves because they might be confused and less able to understand or report criminal conduct. So basically, what I'm thinking is that maybe if they get hurt or beat over a period of time, and I do have cases that where this has happened, they can't report it. I had a lady that had a broken hip. She couldn't report it. She did not report it. She was suffering, but she didn't report it. So the CT scan can give a range of time for the injury. It could point to a cause of death when the victim cannot testify. And talking to prosecutors, the prosecutors can then argue the presence of old and new injuries, such as fractures, bleeds, internal lacerations from blunt trauma, that these were not an accident, but show a pattern of abuse and neglect over a period of time. And then I talked about elders being frail. If there's evidence of shaken baby, like shaken baby, but shaken elder, that's acceleration and deceleration that occurs with violent shaking. How is an older person going to get that if they're non-ambulatory, if they can't walk? How are they going to get one of those? They're not going to have like a subdural hematoma if they can't walk and there's no history of them falling. So I can take this information back. I can confront the suspects. I have a case right now where a woman has bruising all over her face. She has a bruise on her neck, a bruise on her cheek, a bruise underneath her eye. And when I interviewed these suspects, the two caretakers, they said, well, you know, by the way, she's not ambulatory. She must have rubbed her face on the sheet. Okay, I'm not buying that story. Call me stupid, I don't know, but I'm not buying it. But there's no witnesses, and she has Alzheimer's. She can't tell me what happened. So basically, I have Dr. Mosqueda right now looking at those records. What I'm going to do is once I get her evaluation on that report, I'm going to go ahead and take that information back, and I'm going to give the two suspects a polygraph exam. And then I'm going to let them tell me their story. And then I'm going to go after them for neglect if I can't get abuse. So these studies are really important for law enforcement. And to conclude, this is actually the gentleman that I showed you earlier. This is why the research is so important in law enforcement. Again, this was actually my second case after the Curry Morey case. And this is one of those things kind of that haunts me a little bit, because we couldn't get a prosecution on this. And I know this man suffered. Evidently, he had sepsis, but they didn't know where it came from. But perhaps with the CT scans, maybe we can figure out how deep it was into his bone. The coroner that did this exam did not look. So I just want to thank you, doctors, both, for all your research. Thank you, NIJ, because it really has real-life application for what I do out in the field. It has really helped me get prosecutions. It's changed the way I look at law enforcement and the way I handle everything. Thank you.